I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. Unless you've been hiding under a rock or are brand new to the Commonwealth, you know that there's been a lot of tension between Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin and his Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton. And while the recent quarrels have been endless fodder for political pundits, how often has this kind of thing happened before in Kentucky? Well, for some historical perspective, we're joined today by Kentucky historian Ron Bryant. Good day to you, Ron.
Good day to you, Alan.
All right. So what was the intention of the office of lieutenant governor, first and foremost?
Well, first and foremost, we were in a very peculiar position. If the governor had died in office, there would have been no successor. And so we decided in our second constitution of 1799 that there had to be an office of lieutenant governor created just in case of such an emergency.
Now, over time, those powers have been diminished and taken away by various Kentucky General Assemblies, correct?
Oh, yes. The office of lieutenant governor has always been a lightning rod, you might say, because, like John Adams said about the vice presidency, there's always that person waiting in the wings, if you know, to succeed in power. And so there was always tension a little bit between many of the lieutenant governors and governors of the Commonwealth.
What has been at the heart of these tensions, would you say?
Well, the main tension came back before the amendments to the in 1992 to the state constitution, that the lieutenant governor was the acting governor if the governor left the state. And that put a lot of power in the person's hand immediately. And on more than one occasion, it blew up in the governor's face, too.
I'm thinking of particularly Happy Chandler back in the 30s, correct?
In 1935, Happy Chandler had a good time with Ruby Laffoon, who was governor at the time. And, of course, if you recall the history background of it, there was a big argument over, of all things, again, a sales tax. Kentucky has never liked sales taxes. And when the governor was out of the state, Happy Chandler actually called a session of the legislature to try to revoke that. And, of course, Laffoon was furious, and the Democratic Party was really split badly by that. And that was the first big incident that took place. And, of course, the next one would be with Thelma Stovall and Julian Carroll. And of all things, that was over taxes as well.
Set the stage for that circumstance.
Okay, there was all, again, we're talking about taxes on certain things that could be on any amount of things at that point in the 1970s. In 1978, there had been an argument in the legislature for some time about either getting rid of or reducing taxes on certain things that the taxes had been placed on. Well, Julian Carroll, of course, had left the state for something, and Thelma Stovall called a session and actually started ramming through these reductions. And, of course, you can imagine when the governor heard about that, how infuriated he was. And of course, Ms. Stovall, I don't know if you ever met her or not, but she could be quite formidable. And so Julian Carroll had his hands full when he got back to the state.
Now, it's also important to point out that until very recently, the lieutenant governor and the governor did not run together on the same ticket.
No. Now, again, that's in the 1992 amendments to the Constitution. And if you can imagine this, here Kentucky would be electing a governor of one party and could be electing a lieutenant governor of another party. And that happened, of course. And the best example of that would be Louis B. Nunn and Wendell Ford. And those two had no great love lost for each other whatsoever. And so you can imagine the tension, not only the tension, but the downright difficulties in governing when you had a lieutenant governor of a different party. So finally, the legislature and the people of Kentucky got together and decided that's not the best system in the world, and so we'll make it a ticket then. And so you could, and actually in that 1992 amendments, it also provided that the governor and lieutenant governor could succeed themselves. You know, that was the first time that had happened, because you could only serve one term up to that time. And so we changed all of that. And also, some of the powers of the lieutenant governor were stripped in the 1992 amendments, and such as presiding over the Senate with a deciding vote if there was a tie. That was done away with, and now there's a president of the Senate. And the lieutenant governor is left, really, again, just waiting in case something happened, but their actual functions are serving on committees or chairing committees. It's kind of perfunctory, to be quite honest with you.
So put the present quarrels in a more long-range context, if you will.
The present quarrels between, well, again, it is very difficult to really be on the same page sometimes, even if you're running on the same ticket. And there would be statements that would be made perhaps by the lieutenant governor that really, really irritated the governor. And there seemed to be a breakdown of communications there for a while. And then, of course, the political scuttlebutt was, you know, that Governor Bevins was going to drop the lieutenant governor and choose another, which he did. And it's partially, again, just what does the lieutenant governor really do? I mean, how important are they, except for the succession in case of the death or incapacity of a governor? They really don't have that much authority anymore, and it can be a very frustrating job. And that would be with any governor and lieutenant governor.
One comes to mind also, Bashir Manjardo.
Oh, exactly. And you can see how in recent years, this is very, very interesting. In recent years, the dropping of lieutenant governors has become very apparent. It's not like it was at one time, you know. Of course, we've not been having the succession for very many years. But at one time, you would have these people that you would be pretty much, you know, in tune with. You'd think you'd be in tune with them. But now it is seemingly very easy for a governor to decide, I don't want this lieutenant governor anymore. I'm replacing them. And that's exactly what's happening. So that's a political, that's actually a political plus for the governor there. He doesn't seem to be tied anymore to loyalties to a lieutenant governor or anything like that. If they want rid of them, they're going to get rid of them.
So what we're seeing here is history repeating itself.
It's exactly, and it's becoming more and more apparent now. Of course, Kentucky, again, has not had many successions of tickets because we've only been doing this for a while now. But if you look back on it, especially when we looked at Governor Bashir, we had Manjardo, we had Critlew Allen. I mean, it just kept going. It was not the old solid system that it used to be. And that's something that's indicating Kentucky politics are changing a great deal, too. Because at one time, as you very well know, anyone who studied Kentucky political history, there was this monolithic political machine that ran both parties. And that doesn't seem to be as powerful anymore. So the governors are trying to take back some of their power that they lost through the years to the legislature. At one time, the Kentucky governor could be very, very king-like, and then that was stopped somewhat. But now they're beginning to creep back and try to take more authority.
Well, that is all the time that we have today. Our guest has been Kentucky historian Ron Bryant, and you can hear the director's cut of our interview at WUKY.org. Thank you so much for your time today, Ron.
Thank you, Alan, very much.